Welcome to Irish Illustrated's Tracking the Trail. I'm Drew Mentock, joined as always by Irish Illustrated Senior Recruiting Analyst Eric Thomas. We're bringing back the podcast sooner than expected, given Notre Dame's up and down week on the recruiting trail. So it started with the long anticipated decommitment of linebacker Amari Irving. He flipped to Virginia Tech and James Franklin, who's over there now. But then five-star Abraham Cisse finally committed to the Irish, giving Notre Dame three blue-chip edge rushers in this class. Quite a haul there so far. Then five-star linebacker Caden Henderson, perhaps the most dramatic part of this week, went from a near lock to setting an expedited commitment date to pledging to Texas A&M on Thursday afternoon. Sounds like top 100 offensive tackle Albert Siemian could also be heading in the same direction. Now, Notre Dame still has the number four recruiting class in the country. The average prospect rating is almost identical to last year. There are nine players in the top 120 in this class, and there's a big recruiting weekend on deck. So it's not time to panic by any means. But for those who follow recruiting, Notre Dame recruiting specifically, it's been a whirlwind, to say the least. So, Eric, we want to start and end on good news when we can on the Tracking the Trail podcast. How big of a pickup is Cisse? He's a five-star on 24/7 Sports and the composite rankings.
Yeah, it's massive. I mean, obviously, at Irish Illustrated, we like to do the two-year sort of view. So stacking him and Dunham and Iwatade in that position back-to-back is sort of like the blue-chip edge rushers before you even factor in the other 2027 guys. It puts them in a really advantageous position moving forward. And for a program that likes to label itself as like offensive line, defensive line driven program, getting that kind of body type and elite athleticism out on the edge is just a way to make sure that that reputation is rooted in reality and keeps things moving forward. So it's a massive pickup for Notre Dame. He's in my opinion, you know, top two, top three caliber prospect across the last two classes. Dunham is the only one I would clearly put out in front, maybe Premier as well. So he's right there in terms of just like an elite talent. And for Notre Dame moving forward, like obviously Charlie Partridge came in this year. We've already heard pretty gangbusters returns from the players about how they feel he is as like a teacher of the technical side of playing the game, the little details and how that can improve. So you get this kind of talent in the room with a guy with that kind of pedigree. It's a really exciting pickup for Notre Dame.
And how big was Coach Partridge in this recruitment?
He was pretty significant. Like Cisse is a guy who had been leaning towards Notre Dame before Partridge got in place, but obviously as LSU surge and as some different schools kind of entered the equation, having that teacher and that personality on the recruiting side was just a great boon for Notre Dame to be able to sustain that lead and kind of keep things moving. When you hear about coaching changes, a lot of times you think of it as almost like a dip in the bell curve on the timeline, right? It's like Notre Dame's trending up and then the coaching change and then they kind of keep going. But in this case, they really sustained momentum and actually picked some up with Partridge. So I think it only accelerated, Notre Dame making the right push and pushing the right buttons here.
I know you're pretty good at diving into the film. So I think he's 6'4", around 250, 220 pounds right now. But what do you see from him when you watch him and turn on the tape?
Yeah, I'm pulling up my notes here. The biggest thing that jumps out just from like memory is the combination of speed and power. Like he's got a lot of length. He's a guy that plays with pretty significant power coming off the edge, but he's so fast and he's so violent when he closes that he's kind of got that, like you watch him and you think it's an NFL player just because there's a different level of intensity in everything he does. The natural length is pretty astounding too. Like we have him listed 6'5", 215 here at 247. And honestly, his wingspan might even be longer than like your average 6'5 cat. Like he's really pretty special. And that allows him to, you know, not only get his hands into like the chest of a tackle with length and strength at length, which allows you to create space, disengage. But for him, when he's, you know, chasing down quarterbacks and everything, he's a lot more capable of finishing plays because he has those athletic tools and he's got a hell of a long reach where he can just grab you and drag you down from what seems like, you know, an arm's length and a half away. So there's a lot to like about Abraham Cisse's game. I mean, he knows how to play the position. Last year when we were talking about Iwatade, I often described it as a player building the plane in the air, kind of figured out what he was doing in pass rush, even if he had the tools. And Cisse's not like that. He's more like Dunham, where he knows how to get to his tracks. He understands how to use his leverage. He understands how to use his gifts, but he's not totally reliant on his physical gifts. There's a lot of technical knowledge within that.
I think I saw everyone saw in the spring game how Logan Thomas, I mean, there's been a lot made about his weight, and we'll see how that impacts him this fall. But going against a guy like Matty Augustine, I think he had four pressures or three pressures and a sack on six pass rush reps. And you see that because he has an 80-inch wingspan. Like, if you're quick and you can kind of get your hands in there, so obviously you hope Cisse doesn't have any weight gaining problems like we've seen with Thomas. But I think you've seen that's like a good example of just that length, regardless of his strength and some of those other things might be lacking, really going up against a player who's 6'7", 310 pounds or something like that too. So yeah, Cisse is a huge pickup. We do need to get into the Henderson saga. I feel like when we first heard about it early in the week, I thought that was pretty much done. Obviously, I believe it was on the Pat McAfee show. He committed to Texas A&M on Thursday afternoon. So how did things kind of go so quickly from Monday, where it looked like things were looking great for Notre Dame, to before the end of the week, things had gone completely the other direction?
The concern coming into his Texas A&M visit a couple weekends ago was that he was going to cut things off and commit during the course of that visit, and Notre Dame would lose him in advance of the official visit. And when that didn't happen, Notre Dame confidence surged. People in South Bend continued to express rising confidence over the course of the next week about where this thing was trending. And as Tom Loy posted, several of them even told him explicitly that it was done. So things looked really good for Notre Dame, but really, what we've sort of pieced together in the wash is what it sounds like is Henderson really loved his time at Texas A&M during the course of his official visit. It was a place that he could see himself, a place he felt comfortable. It's closer to home. He likes the warm weather. So there's been a couple things that kind of had the boxes checked. But I think leaving that visit, Notre Dame maybe gave him more of a viably financial reason to consider them. And then Texas A&M and trying to get their guy, came back to the table. And I guess it was Tuesday, came back to the table, made sure that they kind of made sure their offer was more in line with where things were. And ultimately Henderson was comfortable making that decision. I reported it in that same thread this morning that yesterday, Wednesday, Notre Dame actually was in contact with Henderson. They had several staffers speak with him. There was conversations, including competitive NIL discussions, but ultimately, it wasn't the money that closed the door. It was the money that reopened the door for Texas A&M to assert their case. And ultimately, he felt comfortable with that decision. So it's a tough pill to swallow for Notre Dame fans, especially when you're right on the goal line again. There's been a couple of those this recruiting cycle that make them just a difficult one to fathom. But ultimately, when you're recruiting, elite talent like this, and you have schools as motivated to close as Texas A&M was, it's a difficult thing to land them all right. And Henderson ultimately made his decision here the same day he was supposed to arrive in South Bend, which that's good work from Texas A&M coaches. I mean, you can't really call it anything else. They needed to get their man before he stepped foot in South Bend, and they got it done.
Yeah, and I believe according to the composite, he's the top linebacker in the class. So as you mentioned, there's a lot of people throwing resources at a player like that. And I do think it's worth noting too that when you and Tom first brought him up, it was over surprise he's even visiting, over surprise he's coming back for an official. So Notre Dame made up a lot of ground real quick, and linebacker coach Brian Jean-Marie. So even though it feels like a loss right now, I guess if you look at the big picture or putting it in hindsight, it is like, oh, Notre Dame came from way far behind for one of the best prospects at a position of need and almost got it done. Obviously, it's disappointing if you're a Notre Dame fan, but I do think it's impressive in hindsight to see all they did to get so close in this race.
Like I was told well over a year ago when Notre Dame like started recruiting Caden Henderson, I was told flatly like that's not gonna happen. Like that's how it was put to me. So I was like, okay, well, I trust the person who told me this. Like, all right, that's good to know. And then Notre Dame kept being involved, and like they hosted him on one visit, and the first visit definitely went well last season. And then it was like, okay, maybe this is a little more real, but let's see if he gets back to campus. Like we have to see. And then he came back in April, and it was like, okay, he really likes Notre Dame. And so the momentum, like to your point, like Brian Jean-Marie was put in a really tough situation, with this linebacker group, with the turnover that's expected next fall, and with what the board looked like kind of coming into the role. And I think it's really a testament that they took all the right steps and like the process was correct to get them there. Ultimately, though, when you're battling at this level, like you just lose sometimes. And that's kind of what this one comes down to.
And so with Irving decommitting earlier in the week and then losing out on Henderson kind of puts Notre Dame's linebacker board in a precarious position. Where does the Irish go from here now that, two prospects have seemingly come off the board in the course of a few days?
Yeah, the main name to know right now is out of Mount Carmel in Chicago, Roman Igwebike, Buke. He is a four-star linebacker, consensus four-star, listed at like 6'3". He's someone that Notre Dame offered last fall, but there was, I would say, maybe some disagreement about his priority on the board between some of the coaching staff and the front office people. So once the coaching change flipped over, then there was more consensus. Like, hey, this is a guy we like. We want to make sure that we're prioritizing. Notre Dame really stepped things up over the course of the last couple of months. And he grew up really admiring Notre Dame. You know, being in Chicago area and then greater Chicagoland, like there's a lot of Notre Dame connections. It's an offer that he sought early in his process. Once he had it, he was hoping to hear more from Notre Dame. And when they did come calling, he greeted that, you know, with a lot of excitement. He is set to officially visit Tennessee this weekend, but as Tom Loy posted on our board earlier this morning, there's a lot of question about whether or not that visit's actually going to take place. I'm not going to say right now one way or another. I know for a fact if it is or it isn't, but I have heard several, you know, folks mentioning that it does not sound like that's going to happen, which matches with Tom's reporting. So we'll see if he shows up at Rocky Top, but as of right now, Notre Dame is looking good. It looks like he's going to be moving up his commitment from July 11th to June 25th. So again, fresh off of a Notre Dame official visit, that's a good sign when you have guys talking about those movements. So he's the name that they're watching right now. Beyond that, I would say, you know, probably keep an eye on potential flips with some of the previous guys that have been in on the board or look for senior risers. I got to go back and check my notes here. I'll find it. But there's a kid who committed to Michigan State out of Wisconsin. Kid's like 6'4", runs a verified 4'5", something, 4'4", something, maybe even high end. Like, that's a name I would potentially watch. Bulla apparently never recruited him at Notre Dame, but then called him his top guy when he got to Michigan State. So maybe there's some acknowledgement. But yeah, that's one. Get out of here. That's one that definitely, you know, I would keep an eye on. It's just kind of like, is there any senior risers that pop up beyond Igwebuke?
And Igwebuke was just on campus last weekend with two other Chicago prospects, David Fularuncho, who's already committed, and Braden Parks, both are defensive tackles. Parks, Notre Dame's been in a strong spot with him, but it sounds like he's taking a trip to Oregon this weekend. Obviously, given some of the up and downs of this week, I know some fans are concerned right now that he's going on to visit a program that he's been enamored with for a while, even if Notre Dame has done a really good job there. Eric, is that concern warranted?
Yeah, I mean, we continue to hear that things are in a good spot for Notre Dame and Braden Parks. Continue to hear that, you know, the visit went well. There was definitely a lot of confidence and momentum coming out of the weekend. But as I mentioned, like myself, my colleague Brian Doan at 247 Sports, and several others were told at the time that, like, it doesn't sound like the Oregon visit's going to happen. And now that that is happening, he's supposed to fly out there if he's not now or already tonight. Now that is happening, there's a little bit of concern, right? Like, even when you get the crystal balls and the excitement and everything that kind of comes with that coming out of the last official visit, like, he's still taking this trip. So that's a concern. Right now I'm still leaning toward Notre Dame getting it done. I think that the distance is going to be a pretty big factor for him and Oregon to have to overcome. And I think that that could ultimately play the role, but especially if he commits just like in the, you know, the emotional sort of aftermath of the visit, that probably bodes really well for Oregon. So, it looked like Notre Dame had, you know, coming into the official visit, we can kind of taken the lead from what was really a razor's edge sort of lead, had sort of separated and gotten clear air, but this trip calls a lot of that into question. So I would say it's definitely a concern. Notre Dame's not out on this race by any means. Like, there's still some backup plans in the works and some different things they're considering, but ultimately the Irish are still pushing. They're still trying to land Parks, but yeah, it's a little bit difficult going from where we were last weekend, where it was like, okay, it looks like this thing's really going to move forward and happen maybe even as soon as this week, to like, okay, he's still taking that trip. Where are we at? So we'll have to see the feedback, but I would say it's a legitimate concern. Even if right now, based on everything we've heard, and you know, the past 4 or 5 days, I would still lean towards Parks to Notre Dame based on that intel, but it's undeniable to feel like Oregon's sort of surging again.
Yeah, you always want the last visit if you can get it too. So that's there, but we'll see. Yeah, as you mentioned, Notre Dame has overcome Oregon in the past too. It seemed like he was trending there at one point, and Notre Dame has, gotten back in that and taken the lead. So we'll see what happens. But to on some more positive news, Notre Dame does have three uncommitted official visitors on campus this weekend in wide receiver Julius Jones Jr., offensive lineman Albert Simeon, who we mentioned earlier, and defensive lineman Seguin Alexander. And that's now that Henderson and Osonni Gales, a wide receiver who looks like he's going to Alabama, are no longer coming this weekend. They'll be on campus with, I believe it's 15 players who are committed in the class. So getting around a lot of players that if they come to Notre Dame, they would get to interact with all the time. Eric, what are your thoughts on this upcoming weekend? And what are the chances that Notre Dame lands all three uncommitted prospects that are coming to campus? And let's start with Simeon, go to Alexander, and end with Julius Jones, just so we can kind of get finish with positive news if we can.
Yeah, so Simeon coming into the week, Notre Dame sources felt really good. There were people in Simeon's camp telling the Fighting Irish that they were in the lead. Basically, the net of what we've been able to uncover here is that it's a three-team race. It's Texas A&M, LSU, and Notre Dame, but Texas A&M and LSU have really kind of surged to the forefront of that conversation. Depending on who you talk to, some folks around Notre Dame still feel really good. So there's not really a consensus, which is interesting, right? Like this is. And pretty much all of this is coming from talking to people in his orbit directly. So there's not a consensus on that side. What makes it interesting is like Simeon's a really good fit for Notre Dame. Like he prioritizes academics. His family definitely does. And like, look, Texas A&M is a good school. It's also an agricultural school. So it's a good school. It's just different experience. And LSU, it's a state school. It's not necessarily known when you're in the football program for being the highest pinnacle of education, right? You can go to LSU as a regular student, get a good education, but they're not necessarily putting the football players in that same focus. So it is a little bit interesting the differing priorities there. But I was told, months ago that Simeon was going to command a sizable NIL, deal. And while I never doubted that, it never really struck me just the level that he was going to rise to because of what an elite pedigree he had. Because I honestly didn't think he had enough contenders and finalists to jack up the prices to where they are. But yeah, he's another one drawing quite a bit of financial interest. I would say right now it feels like it's probably going to go to one of the two SEC schools, but Notre Dame has a golden opportunity this weekend. That's the exact term a source down in Baton Rouge communicated with me. The folks down there were pretty clear that they didn't think Notre Dame was out by any means. It was just they were running third, coming into that week. And again, depending on who you talk to in that camp, it seems to be a different perspective. So Notre Dame has a prime opportunity to land Simeon. I would lean towards that not happening right now, but they crush this visit. They make the numbers line up. They impress him and his family. Like I think there's a very real chance that he leaves campus this weekend and knows that's where he wants to play his college ball. So that one's still up in the air, less likely than it is to have less likely to happen than not. But I would say that that's still an okay shot.
Yeah, it's kind of the reverse of the Park situation where it was trending the other direction, but then at least in this instance, as you mentioned, they get the last visit. So we'll see if that's a. And he's from Lake Charles, Louisiana, so he's much closer to those other two schools, similar to Parks, is much closer to South Bend than he is to Oregon.
Exactly. So that could play a factor here. But ultimately I think that, like I said, that's just a tough one to call right now before the OV, but Notre Dame has a shot. Seguin Alexander, I don't have a great sense of when the line is gonna be met for like, okay, how are we moving forward on this? Because if Notre Dame lands Braden Parks, they don't necessarily want to go to six defensive linemen. And Notre Dame felt very good about landing Braden Parks coming out of last weekend. But obviously, with him heading to Oregon, some different things are up in the air. Tyler Alexander was there last weekend. He's another guy who's on the board. What it really looks like is if Parks ends up going to Notre Dame, they're going to try to cut it there. But with Parks heading to Oregon this weekend, if Notre Dame has an opportunity to take Seguin Alexander's commitment, like they very well might do that. They loved him as a 2028 prospect. Obviously, a reclassification has changed some things. He's now listed as a three-star, but this is a kid who was considered a blue chipper in 2028. And we're clearly seeing from Notre Dame side of things, they don't really worry so much about the reclass stuff. They just think if you're a good player, they want to get you in the door. Saw it with Gerard, we saw it with Jackson Vaughn, seen it with a few other guys, Champ Mons. So at this point, like, I think there's a real possibility. Like, yes, I recorded Locked On yesterday, and I said it was probably more likely than not that Alexander doesn't make this visit to Notre Dame based on what we're hearing. And at this point, like, I think he's going to make it. Like, he's going to be there. It'll be an exciting visit for him. I think there's a chance that he ends up at Notre Dame. I think if Parks commits, he's not going to be there, but Notre Dame could inevitably have him take Parks's spot here if it sounds like he's getting good feedback out in Oregon. So that one's a little bit of a balancing act where it's almost not fully in his hands up until a certain point, at which point Notre Dame has to make a decision, right? So we'll see kind of when they cross that line. And then Julius Jones, yes. I think he's going to be at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about it for so much. I don't even know what to say if it's different than we said in the last month, but it looks very, very, very good for Notre Dame to land the blue chip legacy.
Right, and he's actually did cancel his Oregon visit too, which was perceived to be his other main contender for against him for Notre Dame. So, I assume it's a good
Yeah,
sign. And
down to Notre Dame and Miami. So the Irish feel good.
he is committing on June 22nd or 23rd.
21st, I think.
23rd. Okay.
I was just looking at it. The date has changed so many times. I actually have to double
Yeah.
check. I think it's the 21st now.
And
Yeah.
as a reminder, he's a top 120 player. His father, Julius Jones, was a Notre Dame running back, rushed for, I think, over 1,200 yards in 2003, was a third round draft pick, played for the Cowboys and in the NFL for a while too. So there's obviously a lot of bloodlines there, but as I think I mentioned before, Notre Dame hasn't always worked out with those players. They didn't get either of the Mosley brothers at wide receiver either. So getting Julius Jones would kind of reverse that trend at a position that's important that they start winning those battles.
Yeah, exactly. And the legacy stuff is interesting because, like, it has been tough going for Notre Dame in some cases. And obviously, every time it happens, it ignites the message board because people remember their dads and they get excited about it and whatever else. But landing Julius is a pretty big one, especially because there's in the 2028 class, there's several legacy prospects, including another Mosley. These are guys that don't necessarily have Notre Dame offers yet. The big one that everyone knows is Xander Edwards, who added an Ohio State offer today, added Georgia earlier this week. Like, he has every offer in the book but Notre Dame at this point. So there's a couple legacies that are kind of on the board that folks are watching. So I think it'll make people feel good to know that they got like the highest ranked of the bunch here, in the last couple cycles, and they're kind of getting that ship righted here.
Yeah, and I mean, people always get upset, but I do feel like, I mean, Notre Dame, Jaden Osbury, his father is now the athletic director at LSU too. Like sometimes people just don't want to go where their parents went or currently work and
Perfectly
things like
reasonable
that
too.
too. So it can go either way. But it sounds like in this instance with Julius Jones Jr., it is going Notre Dame's way.
Yeah. And by the way, just so I have it, make sure I do clarity. That linebacker I mentioned earlier, not from Wisconsin, he's from Central Catholic in Bloomington, Illinois. So wrong Central Catholic, but his name's Matthew Brady. He's
Okay.
one that I would potentially have an eye on down the line if he has a big senior season, committed to Michigan State 15 days ago on the 3rd. 6'4", 220, great testing. Tom Lemming absolutely loves the kid, the godfather of recruiting. So if there's a senior riser, I kind of have my eye on Matthew Brady is the one.
Awesome. And with that's all for today's edition of the Irish Illustrated Tracking the Trail podcast. Thank you to everyone who tuned in. Eric, once again, as always, I appreciate you hopping on, jumping in kind of last second to update us on this kind of hectic recruiting week.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with two new episodes of the Irish Illustrated Insider Podcast. Those are, of course, on Monday and Thursday. With that, we'll see y'all again soon.